Great.
Okay. My name's Diana Brown, and it's June 25th, 2014. Could you say your name and kind of age, where you're from, what you do?
Just the basics. My name is Carrie Johnson. I am 53 years old. I'm originally from Parkersburg, West Virginia, but I've lived in Lawrence, Kansas since about 1970.
Okay. My sort of ex-boyfriend, I guess, is from West Virginia. His whole family's from West Virginia.
I always meet people from West Virginia, and it always shocks me. Like, it doesn't seem like you would.
Yeah. You're all over the place, apparently.
Yeah.
So, that's funny. Okay, so I guess I want to ask, first of all, what your prior religious background was. Were you raised or anything?
Well, I was raised Baptist.
Baptist.
And when I was probably, 11 or 12, I started going to lots of different Christian churches, like the Pentecostal church or the Methodist church, and then kind of quit going to church altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was, probably in my 20s, maybe a little bit older, I actually became an atheist. So I was an atheist for a couple of years until I kind of started studying paganism.
Mm-hmm.
And then from paganism, actually discovered Wicca.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been practicing Wicca since about 93.
Okay. And how did you discover paganism?
It was really weird. I had gone to school with this girlfriend, and I hadn't seen her in years.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a mutual friend. And so this mutual friend comes over and says, oh, hey, you know, I'm going to go see this friend of ours. And I said, sure, I haven't seen her in years.
Yeah.
And we go over to her house, and she has a tarot deck.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're playing with the tarot deck, and she's doing readings for us and stuff. And we sort of reconnected and started hanging out together some more, and then I was finally like, you know, there's a kind of a religion surrounding this. I wasn't really sure what it all meant or didn't really know anything about it, but then we sort of started studying together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I went from being atheist to being pagan.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a while I just was like, I'm pagan. I was just so very generic. It wasn't until a couple years after studying that I kind of hit on Wicca,
mm-hmm.
and decided that feels exactly like what I'm looking for.
Yeah. And what were, I guess, the kinds of resources that you used to learn about?
There was absolutely none. There was some books out. They were kind of hard to find here.
Yeah.
And so we just sort of fumbled along. You know, we'd find books here and there until her and I decided to open this shop, and this was like in 2000.
Oh, okay.
And so we opened the shop in February 2000,
mm-hmm.
thinking we were probably the only pagans and witches in Lawrence.
Yeah.
And I think I'd been open, it seems like 7 or 8 months, until one of my customers introduced me to Casey.
Okay.
And at that time, Casey was coming in, and she was, you know, teaching classes and
mm-hmm.
and reading cards.
Yeah.
And I met through her George and Rhiannon Moyer, who ended up being my high priest and high priestess eventually that trained me. But from these three sources,
yeah.
I just started picking their brains. Every opportunity I could get, I picked their brains. I'm sure I drove them nuts. But and I would attend all the classes Casey offered.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, I'm thinking in 2001, Rhiannon Asher, George Moyer, and I founded the Nine Roses Coven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when my really formal training started. But a lot of my resources, I got very lucky, mm-hmm. were meeting those three people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they had like a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like you started the shop, and the shop like called in your resources.
Right, exactly. And it was really, I shudder to think now back to early days of the shop, like how little I knew, really knew.
Yeah.
I didn't really even know exactly what I should be selling.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a few things, you know, herbs and incense and stuff like that,
yeah.
but really not having any idea at all. And it was also my first retail business.
Mm-hmm.
I've ran restaurants. Oh, wow. I've owned restaurants since about 1990.
Oh,
and okay. So that was kind of what I always did, restaurants and bars.
Mm-hmm.
And so the shop was my first retail business, and it was some hard learning along the way, not just in the objects I should be selling, but how I should be running the business.
Yeah.
It's quite different than running a restaurant.
Okay. So what kind of, what kind of Wicca was it that George and Rhiannon were
introducing? George and Rhiannon taught a very, we kind of call it neo-gardenarian.
Okay.
Because the initiations were gardenarian,
mm-hmm.
A lot of the rituals were gardenarian.
Yeah.
But we didn't really adhere to some of the kind of stricter rules or rituals that gardenarians do.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of considered ourselves gardenarian, but other gardenarians might not have.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And George passed away in 2010.
Okay.
And Rhiannon has kind of retired now, so I've now taken over Nine Roses Coven.
I see.
Which is a teaching coven, so we are training people
okay.
to actually go start other covens.
Yeah. Is so there a difference then that there are some covens that are teaching and there are some covens that are just
working together, they're closed.
Yeah.
Casey's kind of, our coven structures are similar in that we have a solar group, which is the group that celebrates the Sabbats.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much anyone can come to those.
Yeah.
And then we have the lunar group, which are the initiated members of the coven. And what we'll do is, you know, work with solar people for a while mm-hmm. and then pull them in as we, you know, once we realize how well we work together, everybody gets along, everybody feels comfortable about it.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, when we pull them into lunar, is when they start their training.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, and then I guess insofar as it's gardenarian, was there sort of a lineage that it was coming from?
I do have a lineage. I actually, what you do is you take the lineage of your high priestess.
Mm-hmm.
So my lineage would be Rhiannon Asher, and then who trained her on down the line.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure how far back it goes, but I think it goes back pretty far because I think George and Rhiannon were kind of, I think they were kind of involved in like the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they had a lot to do with the starting of the Dragon Fest festival in Denver, Colorado.
What is the Dragon Fest?
Dragon Fest is a pagan festival.
Okay.
I know that they were pretty involved with it initially.
Mm-hmm.
But then they moved to Kansas, and I think they moved here. I want to think it was right around 2000, 2001. It was shortly before I met them.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lineage, which really absolutely means nothing, really, when you think about it. I mean, I'm sure that maybe there's somebody that's more into having the label of gardenarian, it mm-hmm. probably is important, but I've sort of not really claiming a tradition at this mm-hmm. moment. I'm just sort of using what I want wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And although our initiations are still gardenarian initiations,
yeah.
they're based exactly on what the gardenarians do for initiations.
Gotcha.
So
interesting. Let's see. I feel like you've answered a lot of my questions already in very quick succession. Because I was going to ask, you know, how has your practice, your personal practice, sort of evolved? Which I can still ask,
actually.
It actually
has a lot. I mean, I can remember when my friend Gretchen, this is the one that I kind of sort of got started with, who had mm-hmm. the tarot cards. We would do, and this was long before the shop opened, we would have little, we called them circles at my house. And there would be, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 of us. Mm. And we would do spell work.
Yeah.
You know, each person would be doing their own spell work. We really did not know the construction of ritual,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as casting the circle and calling the quarters. Okay.
Yeah.
So here we are, you know, we're fumbling along and a lot of the things that I learned later, you know, and I look back and look at the, like, we're doing spell work without the added protection of a circle, you know, which is can be kind of dangerous. And so when I opened the store, even before I met Casey, we would have other, you know, like more trained witches would come in and go, hey, can we do a open Sabbath at your store? You guys are welcome to join us. And we were like, oh, we're all about it, you know. So that's sort of how we started learning how to construct a ritual in the proper way. And so now it's like, it's so funny because I have people come in the shop all the time and they're doing the same thing I used to do. I sort of get to be the one that sits here and tells people, here's how you put up boards and barriers and safety nets before you start doing stuff like that. But, I, you know, I even though I've done nothing but learn for the last several years, I'm still learning. I still learn new stuff all the time.
And do you learn mostly from people?
I learn mostly from people. And, you know, like I said, Casey gets her brain picked on a regular basis because she's not only extremely knowledgeable about Wicca, but other religious systems like Hindu. She's extremely knowledgeable about all sorts of systems. So she's still someone that I sort of like pick her brain every once in a while. I will even go to her for advice sometimes if I'm having an issue with someone in my coven that I need to address something. I'll kind of bounce it off of her, or she'll give me ideas. So but I mean, I learn, I'm just constantly learning, you know, and that's what I try to impart on people that come in here. You're never gonna be done learning. It's just never, you're just gonna continue going on. So you know,
and that's a good thing.
I mean, we sort of view our store, Casey and I both, as above all, of course we need to make money because we have to do that to stay open. But above all, being a service to the community. You know, we're both high priestesses, so it's sort of what we're supposed to be doing anyway. So that's like why it's so important to us that this shop make it. And actually, this shop is doing better than ever. And I think that's because, you know, you're seeing a spike in people having spirituality and looking for different paths. And, you know, a lot of times they'll come in here, and I can help them with, you know, the Wiccan path, but Casey, you know, can really just give them all kinds of information on all kinds of systems, so it's really nice to have her around.
Hello.
Hi.
What was I going to say? So would you identify yourself then primarily as a Wiccan? Is there
as
any other
Wiccan,
word
I don't mind witch at
you
all.
Don't mind witch.
No, nope, I'm reclaiming it. It doesn't really offend me. And I can remember, like, when I first opened the store, the local news would, like, every Halloween, here they come with their cameras. And it was so funny because they came in one time and I was dressed as a witch, you know, with the black
hat,
black dress. And one of the questions she asked me was, did it offend me that people dress like witches for Halloween? And I said, do you think this is how I dress, like, all the time? Because I'm actually in a costume. And so it was so funny to me. Like, you know, people really weren't quite getting... I think, you know, there's more understanding now. It's kind of sort of coming out of the closet slowly but surely. And so, you know, I think that I get less of the really kind of crazy questions.
Have there been other shops like this in Lawrence?
There have been. They're not quite to the extent we are. I mean, we're totally, we're witches. This is it.
That's
this is a witch
it.
Shop. It's not New Age. But there have been a couple of shops that do similar things. Sacred Journey, which turned into... Persephone's Journey, which turned into Sacred Journey, carried a lot of items like we carry and did kind of the witchcraft thing. And Sacred Sword, which was downtown... I think right around 10th and Mass, something like that. They did a lot of stuff like this. And then the Healing Stone, which was actually a friend of mine that had that. I think her focus was mostly on gemstones.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Casey and Ari are the only ones that I know of that are like, we're flat out witchcraft.
This is the Village Witch.
Yeah. And, you know, when we were downtown, that was not our name. I originally opened the shop as the Good Earth Mother.
Oh, okay.
And then when Casey came in, we were, you know, we were in business for a little while and we decided to change the name to the Ninth Path.
Mm-hmm.
And
what did that mean, the Ninth Path?
You know, it was basically there were nine paths that you could go on. Casey would probably explain it better to me, but nine paths that you go on to get to the divine.
I see.
Which was kind of nobody really knew what that meant. Nobody really knew what Good Earth Mother meant.
Yeah.
And we would have people come in the shop and see a pentacle and flip out and run out the door.
I see.
That didn't happen very often because, you know, Lawrence is a fairly enlightened city.
Yeah.
But it happened once in a while. And so we had a fire at our shop.
Mm-hmm.
And we were closed for about 7 months.
Okay.
And then when we opened back here, a couple of years earlier, after we had changed the name to the Ninth Path, Casey had mentioned that she had always wanted the name of the Village Witch for mm-hmm. her witch store. And I said, God, I love that name.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I've kind of always been leery about using it, you know, because I'm afraid that it would have a bad impact on people.
Hmm.
And I was like, not in Lawrence, you know, that would be completely, like, not a big deal at all.
Yeah.
And so when we moved over here, we decided we're going to be the Village Witch or Village Witch.
Yeah.
And people will know exactly what they're walking into.
Yes.
And so we don't have those kind of awkward surprises or freaking people out, you know, mm-hmm. like we did in the other place.
Yeah.
So that is why the name is the Village Witch, and it's mm-hmm. going to remain Village Witch. And what's funny is about a year and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
we kept getting these messages on our Facebook page going, you know, I was in there talking to you, and we'd be like, we don't remember talking to you.
Yeah.
And we couldn't figure it out, and come to find out there's a Village Witch that just opened maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago in the United Kingdom.
Oh. Okay.
Well, that was pretty funny. So, yeah. There's a bunch of us around, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. This was actually one of the first things I really saw when I drove into town when I moved here in August.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're like being, you know, driven and being sort of towed in some stuff. And I was like, there it is. There's, you know, the shop.
Well, and you know, the name really, so. I mean, when we moved over here, we were moving from downtown. You know, even though we were on Vermont Street, we were only one street off of Mass.
Yeah.
It was like the downtown district.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Casey and I were just, you know, driving everybody crazy because we didn't have our shop, and we're having meetings that are going nowhere on what we're going to do about the shop. And I mean, it was a very difficult time for anybody that had to be anywhere near us. And she found this place and she said, what do you think of this place? And I said, well, I think it's the kiss of death for retail. I mean, are you crazy?
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, well, let's just look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came in here, and you know, when the fire happened, I had just moved to a different little section of the building.
Okay.
So I did not have, like, my lease.
Oh.
And I kept getting the tunnel landlord, I need my lease. Well, consequently, I had no insurance. Now, I lost very little
from
the fire. Because
That's
at some
good.
Point between my space and the rest of the building, someone had erected a firewall.
Oh.
And Casey lost a lot, and she was in the middle of redoing her lease, so no insurance. So we have nothing. We have our inventory.
Wow.
So we come in here and we're talking to the landlord, and finally, you know, we're being very upfront, going, you know what? She has like $11 and I have $8. You know, this is our situation. And I have one of my extra bedrooms is stuffed to the ceiling with product.
Mm-hmm.
And so the landlord goes, I'll tell you what I'll do. I won't charge you a deposit,
mm-hmm.
and I'll give you a month and a half free rent.
Wow.
Get in, get open. And
yeah.
There we were. But it was so funny because, you know, the big thing then became, you know, how can we rustle up $25 to get a can of paint? You know, we bought literally the paint. We bought it one can at a time. It was that crazy. But we managed to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been here since 2006.
That's cool.
So. Rough times, though.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, rough times.
So is there generally, I guess I'm wondering, sort of like a social, I don't know if there would be any sort of Do you have contact with other people who run shops like this?
Is there actually any sort of social network? Facebook, there is a page called the Fellowship of the Shops.
Oh.
And it's the Village Witch. It's the Herb Charmer in Leavenworth.
Mm-hmm.
It's Aquarius in Westport, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And Crescent Springs.
Okay.
In, I believe, Overland Park.
Mm-hmm.
And then Enchanted Gifts in Olathe.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think Mystic Mists in Manhattan has now kind of joined me on that too.
Okay.
And I haven't been able to attend meetings because I don't drive and they're out of town, but we keep in touch on Facebook.
Okay.
And sort of, you know, pass ideas, you know, through each other, get advice from each other. And,
yeah.
You know, so, and I really don't know of any other retailers that do that.
Yeah.
You know, there's absolutely no competition there at all because we all understand there's room for all of us.
Yeah.
And even if there's another store that opens in Lawrence, like when Persephone's Journey first opened, mm-hmm. they really didn't carry witchcraft items, like Wiccan items.
Yeah.
And it was after our store had burnt down, and I went in there, because they had come and introduced themselves to us when they first opened.
Yeah.
So I went in there, and she said, I hope you won't be mad, but I'm going to start carrying Wiccan items. And I said, of course I'm not going to be mad, because it makes Lawrence a destination.
Mm-hmm.
When you have, say, if you had 3 Wiccan shops here,
yeah.
Wiccans would be flocking to this
here.
Town
yeah.
to go to all the Wiccan shops in one place.
Yeah.
So I've never... Even the stores here in Lawrence, we've never had that sort of competitive issue.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, Third Planet sends a lot of people here. I send a lot of people to Third Planet,
mm-hmm.
or the Earthbound Trading Company is a new place I've kind of been sending people, you know, because they have the Himalayan salt lamps. And so, I mean, and these businesses will do the same for us. They send people here all the time.
Okay.
So, I mean, we don't really have that sort of competitive thing with each other, and
that's
we all
nice.
Pretty much get along.
Yeah. So. Have you found that to be the case with other businesses that you've ran?
Well, actually, it was so funny because when I like, and I think it was in 99,
mm-hmm.
I went to Amesbury, Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
To attend a friend's, you know, the friend was my partner at first, her brother's funeral, and
yeah.
her and I had gone into a couple of the stores in Salem,
mm-hmm.
and one of them was like, I said, you know, I'm going to open a store like this. Can you give me, in Lawrence, Kansas? Can
yeah.
you give me advice? And they're like, we don't talk with the competition. We don't share our information. And it was really shocked me.
Yeah.
And it happened to me too at a place in Chicago.
That's weird.
I had gone there, and I'd already had the shop by then, but I had found an herb that I had been looking for.
Yeah.
And so I said, gosh, I've been looking for this for like 3 years. Can you tell me where to get it? And they're like, no, we don't share that with our competition. And I'm like, I'm not your competition.
I'm in Lawrence, Kansas.
I could call one of the shops in Lawrence, Kansas, or even in Kansas City, and ask the same question, and they would give us, like, when we first met Barb,
mm-hmm.
Gretchen and I,
mm-hmm.
Who owns Aquarius,
yeah.
You know, we were telling her about our store, and she's like, listen, girls, if you need an order that you can't meet a minimum order on, you just call me, I'll throw it on my order. I mean, this is the way
these
people operate, you know, and so it really shocked me that I would go to these other towns, and they were just really rude about it.
I mean,
really kind of awful, and it kind of, you know, shocked.
Yeah,
and it kind of hurt my feelings too, because it's like, well, you know, shouldn't
thought
you be
we were a community
more of this
like
stuff? You're like, this religion is really growing,
right?
You know, and so that's kind of always been my stance too, is that this religion cannot be kept a secret anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be talked about. It has to be learned about,
mm-hmm.
because that's how we're going to grow the, you know, and evolve this religion.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really funny because, you know, Kristen at the Herb Charmer in Leavenworth came in here, and she said, I hope you're not mad, but I'm going to open a store in Leavenworth, and can you tell me where to get some of this stuff? And I'm just like making her lists. You know, I mean, there's just no reason for it. I've never seen, I even own a restaurant, and I don't act that way, you know, with other restaurants. I don't try to outbid or outdo or,
you currently own a restaurant, too.
I currently own a restaurant in Eudora called the Black Cat Cafe.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is not a cult at all, I think, because a lot of people think Black Cat Cafe came after from me being Wiccan, but Actually, I always liked sort of the English pub names.
Oh,
you know,
okay,
like
yeah.
I had a bar called the Laughing Dog Saloon, and I mean, so I've sort of stuck with that. And you know, several years ago, my husband's like, "What do you think about the Black Cat Bistro?"
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of like the way it rolls, but I think I'll lose the bistro because it's not a bistro. And so we opened the Black Cat Cafe in Eudora, and would love to have a second location in Lawrence if we could ever find a place to rent here. Because let me tell you, as soon as a restaurant closes here, it's already rented.
Yeah, it's prime space.
You know, anywhere, all over town. We've been all over. You know, we'd love to be downtown, but just, you know, any other places that come up open, they're just snapped up like that.
Yeah.
So I think the economy in Lawrence is probably a bit better, than other places.
Yeah.
But it's insane that we cannot find a place to rent.
Yeah.
And, you know, the couple that are for rent are sort of out of our rent league.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, you know, too big for what we're doing. Because our food is home cooked, made from scratch. You can't do like a huge restaurant and do that without like an entire bevy of cooks. But just let me know when you're ready. How you doing?
Hi.
You doing good?
I was just going to chat with you later.
Okay.
Obviously.
We should be finishing up here. It's just a little interview.
No, it's okay.
I wanted to, I guess, just ask a couple more things about, I guess I know that for a lot of the people I've talked to, Gaia, for instance, has been sort of important to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any particular, if land is important to you at all in your practice or...
Yeah, I'd love to have land to do my rituals.
Oh, really?
It's sometimes hard to do them in a house.
Yeah.
But, you know, respect for the land, of course we have to. And I mean, whether you're Wiccan or not Wiccan, you must respect the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because anytime this earth wants to, it can just shrug us right off. I mean, that's just all there is to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, land is important to me. But, you know, we're urban witches.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a field, you know, and so often ritual will be either in my living room or a friend's yard.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just what we have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's my dream to have a Covenstead at some point, but I don't know when that'll ever happen.
Yeah. And then I guess how does sort of art and creativity play a role for you, do you think?
I think, you know, maybe not so much in the Wicca thing, but creativity, you know, is a lot with my shop. I have to think of ways to package things, you know, that kind of intrigue people.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, there's also an art to casting spells and doing ritual, and so I guess that would be a part of it, too. Also, you know, you come up with your own rituals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I might say we're going to do, like, last time we did ritual, we did a particular piece of work called the Mill of Magic, which is not mine, somebody else's, but oftentimes, and this is one thing my high priest George used to do to me, I would show up for ritual, you know, for them to be the high priest and high priestess at ritual, and I'd show up and he'd go, "Oh, by the way, you're the high priestess, so you have 15 minutes to come up with the ritual." And so I'd have to, like, you know, and of course I had to have knowledge to sort of be able to put all that together, but there's an art to it as well. You have to make people feel engaged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes that's really just kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's a sort of, there's sort of people skills that go into it as well.
Right, and it was very hard for me because I'm very private.
Yeah.
When I was young, I was extremely shy, and it was very hard for me to, like, talk in front of people or chant in front of people or sing in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did I have to kind of get through that, now I have to be the one that's, like, leading it all.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's changed me for the better, but, you know, it was uncomfortable there for a while.
Yeah. I was about to say, though, that's interesting that it's sort of like... a religious practice that for you demands a sort of like personal growth.
It does demand personal growth. And one thing, the first thing you learn when you become a high priestess is now you're the servant.
Mm-hmm.
you are the servant when you're the high priestess. And it used to be funny, there used to be this guy at this bar I went to, and when he found out I was Wiccan, he was like, oh, let me kiss your feet. And I said, why are you trying to kiss my feet? And he goes, because you're the high priestess. And I'm like, first of all, I'm not a high priestess. And second of all, the high priestess kneels before you, not the other way around.
Mm.
You do not kneel before the high priestess, ever. She kneels, she's in service to you. And I think that a lot of people don't understand that. And, mm-hmm. you know, Casey can tell you, like, horrendous stories of how she's just often put on a pedestal. I mean, to the point that, I mean, she's like, I can't even function because they're just gaga, you know. And so she has to kind of make them understand that I'm here for you, not the other way around. And she gave me a lot of warning, you know, about, because she's been running a coven for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So she's given me a lot of advice and warning on how to sort of maintain that, you know, to where you don't start getting this big head.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you don't, because, you know, you're a slave, basically.
Yeah, when I think about the work that goes into it.
There's a lot of work that goes into it. Also, no group is extremely perfect. There's always going to be conflict every once in a while, and then now you have to delicately handle that in a balanced way.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to make someone feel like you're on their side, or, you know, blah blah blah. So it's been, and we've had a couple of those bumps.
Yeah.
And because, you know, you have to make people be able to go into circle together in perfect love and perfect trust.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot harder to do than you might think it is. And especially, you know, if there's been issues that's not related to the coven, but outside issues that they've had, and they're bringing it into the coven, and then you've got to sort of, how are we going to do this with having you two put that down while we're in circle, because we really cannot have that energy in circle.
You've got to keep your defenses down.
You got to, you know, so it's not a job that I really strive for, mm-hmm. but it's sort of, I was the only one there that could actually step in and mm-hmm. keep the coven going.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, it sounds like, just like with the store, it's not like you felt like you were this great expert or something, but saw a need. And
jeez, I remember how ignorant I was when I first opened this store, and sometimes it just cracks me up to think about it, but it's like, man, I mean, I hope I didn't hurt anybody giving them wrong advice or something. And then it got to where, you know, when Casey came in, it was just so, it was such a relief, because now I have someone that actually knows what they are doing and talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So it came to the, people would ask me something and I would go to Casey, you know, and, but, you know, that's how I learned. When she came in, when she was in just for a while as the reader and the teacher, and then so when she decided to open her part of it, which was the gemstones, I knew absolutely nothing about gemstones, and I couldn't even identify most of them, and so that's another great chunk of knowledge that I've gotten from doing this store, is gemstone knowledge, and not just gemstone, lots of stuff. I mean, because like I said, she is very knowledgeable on lots and lots and lots of subjects. It's sort of the way, like, I think with Casey, she wasn't even a high priestess, but suddenly she was thrown into that role out of necessity.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what happens to you sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just get thrown in the fire and go, hey, hope you do well.
Yeah.
And we've had to do it with males, you know, because there's not enough men
in Wicca. Yeah.
A lot of them for years didn't feel welcome, you know, because when Wicca was sort of emerging, so was feminism.
Mm-hmm.
And it was touted as this whole goddess worship, but what a lot of people don't understand is there's also a god in Wicca.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you must have that representation as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I just got lucky that I got with an incredible couple that had worked together for years, and, you know, I mean, and so, you know, I think Gretchen, the girl that used to be my partner here, because she was one of the founders of the coven as well. Her and I were Georgia's last third degrees. I just feel so honored, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel bad that other people aren't going to be able to get degrees from him. He was quite stellar.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you can pass that on.
Huh?
But you pass that on.
I can pass it on. I need more men.
You need more men.
I need more males.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you need me to ring you up, hon?
Oh, no, I'm just waiting.
Good? Okay.
I always set my stuff down.
Okay, all right.
What else was in it? Oh, are George and Rhiannon, are they still around? Are they in Lawrence?
George has passed away.
Oh, George has passed away.
Yeah, Rhiannon 2010. Is living in Baldwin.
In Baldwin.
But I think she's thinking of moving her home and moving here to Lawrence.
I wonder if you think she would be interested.
I don't know.
In
she's pretty busy. She's raising her two granddaughters who are kind of young. And then she also has a job as a parenteacher at their school. Oh. So hard to say.
Yeah.
I could ask, but hard to say.
Yeah.
She might be able to do something with the phone.
That would work.
You know?
Yeah.
So if you want to leave your number with me, I can call her and ask her.
That would be wonderful, actually.
Yeah.
Sounds like a...
She's a real sweetie.
Very formative.
Yeah, lovely lady.
Yeah, okay. Well, is there anything else you feel like is important to say?
No, you know, I think we pretty much covered everything. Now, have you talked to Casey?
I haven't talked to Casey. She's actually been interviewed before for this project, so I wasn't sure whether to interview her again or not. I mean, some of my
Casey's
questions
might
be...
Casey's also another one that just, like, knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, she gave me a really interesting interview for a project I did last semester, actually, that was about communal living. So I don't know. I guess I could...
she's another one you might want to think about if you need another person. But, yeah, I could ask Rhiannon and see.
Okay, that'd be great. Well, thank you so much.
Sure.
This was really great.
No problem. And you need me to sign that?
Oh, yes, I do.